leave our party, just go right away. There's no need to be polite and just stay just for appearances. Well, there'll be no criminations next day, next day. Nor will there be hurt feelings. If you want to leave the party, just go. We won't mind, just go. Excited life and a bored. When you feel trapped and just let yourself be paralyzed, oh, just go.
Down and everything's alright. That's it. Happy horse shit. Have a good night.
Horse shit segment if you want and come on during the World Cup, because I feel like that is a great place for, like, what else? To me, like, I'm so touched that I met you and I love the way you play. Like, are you looking forward to, do you have any plans on busking at the World Cup, or are you just a soccer fan and you're like, this is going to be cool?
Oh, no, I'm more into football.
Nice. American football?
Yes.
Tell me.
I watch American football.
I am too. So tell me an American football, like, who's the best? Who's the best defensive and offensive player you've watched?
Wow. I just saw a couple of kickers that the guy hasn't missed a field goal all season.
That's interesting.
A half a dozen, way over 50 yards.
I can't even...
Like, kicking a 60-yard field goal is mind-blowing to me.
It's super important, and now they have, rightly so, I think, because... Do you think they did I think they made a wise decision, and what they did in the NFL was they narrowed the goalposts a little bit, because I feel like, I know this for a fact, so many games were just decided at the end, and you leave it up to the kicker when you have all, and not to take away from the kicker, right? And it's a great thing to have, because your team could have an 80-yard drive, or, like, let's say 60-yard drive, you get stopped on the 35, and, like, if you had a great, beautiful drive, you should be able to put something on the scoreboard, right?
Yes.
To get well, so that's what a field goal is, right?
Some of these better kickers are kicking. If you get to the 35, they can kick a 60.
I know.
It's just mind-blowing.
I think I heard that, like, one guy I think they've had the longest kick recently, and then I think I heard, yeah, which was, like, for a while, remember it was the guy with that didn't have the complete foot for, like, Green Bay, and it was, like, a 60-yard, and so now I think, like, 68 is probably the longest one, I think.
Yeah, that's just incredible. How do you kick something back and it's that far?
I don't know, and I've tried to do it, and it is, I've tried to do it just as an extra point. Even kicking an extra point is not easy. And what I always wonder, and actually a very good quarterback that got a lot of flack, I'm not going to name who it is, but a lot of times the quarterback, because he's used to taking the snap, is the one that holds for the kicker.
Wow.
How do they do that? So many, I mean, it's just through repetition, but it's just amazing that more balls, don't watch this weekend, because just because I said this, like, the universe is going to have fun where there's going to be like five snaps through, but it's just amazing that it happens so quick. You catch the ball, it's there, and then it's amazing that just, like, more balls don't go, more things don't go awry when there's so many moving parts at such a speed, and it's humans catching it.
Just talking bingo.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna talk American football. I'm gonna say Lawrence Taylor is the best defensive player I ever saw, and I'm gonna say Elway is the most talented quarterback that I ever saw. I think in the end of the game, you want the ball in Montana's hands, but I think...
I like Brett Favre.
Favre was amazing. He's honestly number three on that list. I'll tell you a Favre story that I remember. I'll tell you what I know about Brett Favre is that he, after the Packers, and he won a Super Bowl there, he played for... I got to see him on the football field, which hopefully I'll have kids, I'll be like, I got to see Brett Favre, if they're into sports. But what I remember about Favre is, I remember particular throws. Like, I remember particular plays really good. I was supposed to play college football, I didn't play in rugby, that's even more fun. But, well, it's not more fun, it's just, at the level I was at, that's where I ended up. So, I remember on a Monday night game, Favre, from like, the freaking, like, 40-yard line throws a dart. You couldn't have thrown it any better. I think it was Percy Harvin that caught it right in the back line of the end zone. And I'm pretty sure I said out loud to the universe, he's the best quarterback in the league again. Because I think he may have taken a year off between Green Bay and Minnesota. But that throw is one that, like, I'm like, that's unbelievable.
Just unbelievable. But he was excited.
Yeah.
was somebody that you could always, he would always do something.
Him and who's the guy, who's the speedster? I actually heard him speak, he spoke at my company. Steve Young was like, you're gonna, he could like, Favre could like roll out and throw it across the field, right? Or just, he would just chuck it down the field and you're like, there's no way, and the guy would catch it, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, I've just been watching some of the athleticism on the football field. And the other night, I was watching somebody, and the quarterback was running for the goal. He not only vaulted over the defensive player, he did a front flip into the end zone.
There was a guy from the green, the wide receiver from, I've seen that before. There was a guy about 15 years ago, the first time I saw that, it was a wideout for the Bengals. Now I don't watch that play, but he did that. That's the first time I ever saw that, where he just went front flip over.
He like vaulted over the defender, and then he did a front flip into the end zone.
What game was this?
Just a couple nights ago.
It was the QB that did that?
Yeah. And I could not believe that he did that.
I wonder if it's a game I thought the team lost, but they didn't. Because someone, I have a tendency to do this. Maybe why radio is okay for me is that I like, and sometimes on sets I'm good at improvising, but I tend to like, I get so excited talking to people that I cut people off a little bit. And maybe the person I really like to talk about sports with, she's like, you know, what is he doing? And I just went down. I'm like, I knew I should have watched that game. And I think I screwed myself with too much caffeine in my mouth that ran. Did you have a team growing up? Were you a Niners fan growing up, or who did you root for? I just say Niners because you're from Sierra.
From the time that Madden was in, that Kent Stabler was playing for the Raiders.
Raiders. That's
I was
awesome.
Into the Raiders because
the snake. Fred Biletnikoff, right? The whiteout?
Unbelievable. They would go out and get drunk and then show up the next day and play
it. It was like the 60s Yankees with Billy Martin. I know, that team.
Unbelievable. They didn't adhere to curfew or anything like that. And I couldn't believe they'd come out and just kick ass. It was John Madden who did it. I mean,
who was the really big hitter, the defensive back that they had?
They had one really good, series.
I feel like, what about the team? It was Matusak and Lyle Alzado on the defensive line, right? I feel like.
Yeah. They were a great team. And I don't think it was. I think Madden just ran into the right people, but he also knew how to just. Yeah, well, I like the Kansas City Chief coach.
Oh, Hank Stram.
This guy.
Oh no, the Andy Reid. He's amazing.
This guy is. Boy, he can figure out more plays and more. I love what he does.
I had to deal with him. Oh, now my. Yeah, he coached Philly for a long time, and the team I like is the NFC East. And you're just making me realize I'm a Cowboy fan, and I'm a Cowboy fan. I grew up in New York State. My dad was in the Air Force, and he loves Staubach because he was in the Navy. And it's always great being a Cowboy fan because they're always in the news. But then if we're not, I went through some until I was in high school. Our teams were very bad. It was the end of the Dorsett era. It was Danny White at court. The Danny White to Steve Pollard transition. I remember, and Tony Dorsett at the end of his career before he went to Denver.
I did like Tom Landry as a coach. He always wore a suit and a hat.
He's the one, I think he was the originator of the 4-3 defense, which like he really
told people not to celebrate, not to over celebrate. And then,
oh, he was, he's very conservative, and there was a very, because there was so much love for him, and he won a couple Super Bowls. I think he won two Super Bowls that was like, when the new brash guys came in, and football is such an interesting, it's funny, like, athletes we look up to, and like, whether they're best or not, like, you can somewhat tell a little bit about a person by what athletes they like. So, also teams, it was funny, my dad, I love my dad's Mike Mahiro, but he was like, during the 80s, American football, It was Notre Dame and Miami when those teams were and Notre Dame had Ragib Ishmael, and I'm the brash big mouth, and my dad that's not that conservative, and my dad was the conservative, like, he called Willie Nelson a hairbag, and I was like, Dad, my dad was the Perry Como crooner. I mean, he had all these great qualities, but like very, like, let's call Tam Lundry very staid, very traditional, if that's the word, which oftentimes, I mean, those are the guys that you want. I do like
listening to Lawrence Welk.
He's
watched Lawrence Welk on TV almost every time. You know.
Can I call that schmaltz though? Like, what would you call the music Lawrence Welk? Because it's not very.
It's called champagne music. That's why he had the bubble.
The love boat. Soon we'll be making another run.
He had all the, he was Polish, but he had all the,
he was a band leader, that's what he was.
He had a variety of acts. There was Bill Wood on the piano, there was Pete Fountain on the clarinet, there was, a guy who sang really deep.
I want to call it music that's not going to make your grandparents angry.
It wouldn't. A one and a two.
So what do you think, like Lawrence Welk and a guy like Elvis are incompatible, I feel like, right? Or not? I don't know a lot about this.
I really don't know, because he was doing polkas and waltzes and that was the music of the time.
Was it? I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. That's why I brought up Elvis, because I feel like those two intersected and they were complete opposites. Where nowadays, what I like about music can bring everyone together. Like, I just saw, I think nowadays, like, people that listen to hard rock are also listening to hip hop, and they're making those connections, and it's crossing like cultural boundaries, class boundaries, race boundaries, all these things. Where I feel like I'm reading this one now about the history of the Cramps, who got into super rockabilly style, which is country music. I mean, what would you say?
Rock and roll beat.
With a rock and roll beat. And I feel like Lawrence Welk has no rock and roll beat, maybe steeped in jazz, kind of a smoother jazz.
Yeah, he's very smooth.
Yeah.
He wanted everything.
Mellifluous, you might say.
Yeah, that's the word.
Champagne music, you called it.
Yes, that's what he called it.
And it's not for everyone, nor is every music for everyone.
Well, I think Paul Simon influenced a lot of crossover.
Ooh, tell me, with African styles for sure, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, he was a rhythmic person. You know, everything he did had so much rhythm to it.
Where do you think he got that from? I want to read a book about him.
I don't know. Remember him doing Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard? And
I had Chevy Chase in it. That's partly why I got my I go by Fiat Chase on the air. I'm like, I'm Chevy Chase, but I'm Italian. Yeah. And that was something. I feel like 80s pop music was so innovative, and now the pop music's not. Now that one, I heard that song recently. I feel like, can you do, you must be able to do, what about, what's that one?
I'd have to play it with
have it heard, yeah.
And then I could get into the groove.
I wish I had it. I used to bring my phone sometimes and play off my phone, and I could have pulled up. You know what I was thinking? And I'm not. Sometimes I'm a singer of some good singer of some songs, not a good singer of other songs. But he has one. Can never remember. It's one of his more popular. But I'm trying to. You know the only living boy in New York. Do you know that? I think that's the name of his song. It's just beautiful.
Probably one that I missed.
Ah.
You know, I listen to a variety, but I don't dig deep into all the stuff that people do.
He married this neat lady, and you know, you want to know something? You'll love this. His wife, Edie Brickell, they just renewed their vows like 10 years ago, which I think is so cute. She had a pop hit in the 1990. And then it just, this cute song from the album, not that song, but it came into my, I'm sure same happens to you, like, I'm not going to tell the audience what I had in my head today, the song wise. I'm a little bit embarrassed, but it's just how it was. But an Edie Brickell song popped in my head. It's called Circle. It's a really cute song. And I searched it on YouTube. The video takes place in Cafe Trieste. And I'm like, oh, I know that mural. So if you Google, you'll be able to remember this. Paul Simon's wife's, even though I'm sure they're equal parts, not what to say, but he's more known. Paul Simon's wife's video in Cafe Trieste, I'm sure that will pop up. And what a treat that was, because how much time have I spent there? You know, like, whoa!
You know, I was watching the PBS the other night.
Yeah.
And it was a Willie Nelson special.
Oh, cool.
And Willie Nelson and Keith Richards did a song together. And that was hot.
I believe it. I think someone told me about that recently.
That was really hot.
He was... I think I distract myself a lot. I get to talking, but when you brought up Willie Nelson, one of my coworkers played this song, and I was like, I know he's a great musician. I had no idea that he was that good of a guitar player. He can be that good of a guitar player, but all of his popular songs don't necessarily let you know that. And maybe that's a pop song. Pop songs aren't always, they're just catchy and good. You're not always going to get the like, whoa.
No, he's definitely a wordsmith.
He's cool, and everyone likes him. And you
but
know
his
what?
Guitar playing is...
Did he start Farm Aid? That might have been his venture.
Yes,
that's so cool. I mean, talk about like changing people's lives. You know what I mean? Like that's what music can do.
Yes, and at that time he was running around in a bus running on ethanol.
That's really cool. What happened to the diesel veggie diesel but things?
I don't know because. You know, he outfitted his bus and he was picking up grease at restaurants as he was on tour all around. He stopped the restaurant and filled up with grease.
Something happened. I'm just thinking, like, the right people weren't making... It was taking money from the wrong pockets, probably, something. Like, I always wonder what happened to the... I called it veggie diesel, but it was... What would you call it? I forgot what they called it, but, like, it was good. Yes. Hey, Sean, wait till you meet this individual. This guy is a musician in his own right. This is what... I'm going to make a request. If you know any... Paul Simon on the guitar. He just comes in. I just like lay it on him. This gentleman, Sean's here, everybody.
Interesting.
And I haven't seen you in like 3 weeks, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, man, what's up?
I've been thinking about you. It's nice.
Cut out early or have you been here?
No, I cut out early a couple times because I'm sure you felt like this. It's like my show is as good as it. It was a good show, and then I'm like,
no,
anything
wait,
I after that.
Fucking bitter end, man. That's me.
No. See, that's why Bughouse Square sucks, you guys, because it's really a 58-minute. It's an hour and 48-minute show, and he squeezes the last 12 minutes, which ruins your show. So the last 12 minutes. I'm just kidding. I love Bughouse. I heard your show
really?
Two Sunday nights ago, and I loved it. It was like you played fucking Cat Stevens. Yeah.
What was your show?
I was at work, and I was like, boom.
Good for you.
Yeah. So,
it's good to see you, man. I was worried about you a little.
We haven't seen
you. My worry. You got enough trouble without me worrying about you.
You worrying about me might help, actually. I should probably worry about me. I got thrown out of the library, and it's a story that cannot be told, but I put it in writing. And
thrown out of the library washing your chonies in the sink? What happened?
No. I made some art, and I taped it up, and it was art that not everyone appreciates. Yeah.
Can't have that.
That's Sean.
You fiddle player?
Yeah. He wrote in the note to tell me to come down here this morning when he saw me at the Civic Center.
Okay.
And he said, don't worry. And I told him, fingers don't fret.
No. Really?
Not at all.
Stanley has been playing.
Have you played something so far?
Oh, he has. He's been playing for 50 years.
No, tonight for your show, has he played anything? All right.
Yeah, I've been playing since I came in.
It's all Lawrence Welk. All he will play is Lawrence Welk, and it has just... I'm just making fun of him. I'm like, this is speech waltz, dude. Like, play something good. No, he's played... Okay, Fats Waller, he's played. He's played Mexicali Rose.
Yeah, I've been playing
That's Waller. I think I have a fast Waller record in my...
No! Do you want to play along to one? What do you... He likes doing that. Wait, whatever you guys want to do. Actually...
I can go to the store.
1 minute.
Just kidding. We're back live. Fiat Chase. It's 5:37. We have a touring band from Interpol. They are playing next door at the Makeout Room. This is the gentleman. He plays what?
Drums. Tonight at Makeout Room, we got Fake Your Own Death, a local four-piece dark wave band opening for Scrounge from the UK. Two-piece, noisy... noise pop band. So come on out. We're on at 7:30, and Scrounge is on at 8:30. It's an early show.
Thank you so much. Sean's here from Bughouse Square. Now it's going to be full tilt thumb wrestling for 5 minutes until Bughouse. Come on. Oh, yeah. The Macho Man. Back from the dead. He's
2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war.
He just declared a thumb war, you guys. This is insane. Did you hear that though? Also, get excited for Bughouse Square, and then make the transition. Listen to that. Listen to it as you're walking in to the show next door at the Makeout Room. You heard it here first. Happy Horseshit jumped back on because I almost... the guy put his flashers on, and I volunteered to flash people to cause a distraction. And they didn't... We just decided to scrap all that and have a thumb war. Okay. Back to last week's show. Wow.
I think I'm getting the hang of it.
Oh, and so Capelli plays with Django. Wow.
Yeah. That's Swing. They had a band called the Hot Club of Paris.
That's a really... Yeah, because that's... And my great aunt is from Paris, and I'm so... I was going to bring a book with me today or yesterday. I have a book about... like Paris in the 20s and 30s, and that's like I up into the like 50s and 60s and 70s. I like, wow, do you know who Henry Miller is? Have you ever heard of this guy? He's a writer. Henry Miller is a writer who was born in Brooklyn, wrote Tropic of Cancer, moved to Paris, and there's this fantastic book that I feel like you could be not just an extra, you could just be in this movie. It's called Henry in June, and it's Fred Ward playing Henry Miller and Uma Thurman playing his wife June, and they are just around all these artists, you know, and you have the is it the Thames? What's the Seine?
Yeah, it's the Thames.
And
the one that goes to France.
And they're just, you know, there's shots of them in the shadows, making out in the shadows, and it's just a very... So Django, I don't know a ton about him, but my friend rips playing Django on the guitar. What is his story? Where was he born? How long was he in Paris?
He was in Gypsy.
So Romania? Or just...
Yes.
Okay.
And he was injured in a fire, and... on his fret hand, he lost his fingers. And so that's when he...
He had to adopt, and he made a different style.
Style.
Whoa.
The style came from him playing through his injuries. And he's got incredible rhythms. You know, his accents. His accents on everything is just...
What is it, to a lay person that's not a musician, what does an accent mean when you're playing guitar?
Syncopation, backup, variation in rhythm.
That's what I was thinking, right. And I love that, and I'm trying to think of I don't have much... Today is kind of an interesting day for the music I brought, but... I'm trying to think of a song that does it for me where it's just like out of nowhere it just switches gears and you're blown away, right? Like that's sort of the yeah.
Yeah, I know what you sort of mean. I sort of know what you're saying, but I don't think I can't put it in words.
You could put it into words. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a song that's an example of. I mean, you physically actually do it, but I'm thinking of like. I mean, maybe I'll look through my bag. Maybe I can play one more record in the time Sean gets back. I wish. I don't know. I'm not good at getting the speaker. I can't. I don't know. I'm still working on the. Yeah, I'm not going to play a record because I can't get the speakers. I'm going to have Sean show me again. You know what I like to do is usually I'm alone here, right? So I like dance around, but it has to be with the headphones. But like really hearing the speaker in the last few, I've only had the speaker on once where I can like hear it throughout the whole building. Was there a place like that you played at a bar or something that you were like really impressed? I know very little about sound, but I went to a club recently and I was blown away by the sound that they had there, that they did. Is there a place that you remember, even as from like 1987 or like last year, that you were like, I went in and the you know, they did a really great job wherever it was?
Well, I was in a place in Las Vegas called Sam's Town.
Okay.
And they had line dancing.
Cool.
And this, I like it because it looks like the people are on ice skates or something. They're so, and the sound in there was probably as well, good as I've heard.
How about the music? You like the music too?
Well, they were playing all the Western swing, boots, skip and boogie type stuff, so the people could line dance to it.
What's a contra dance? What is that?
Line dance.
I was wondering because I got invited.
You get in the line and they all do the same steps at the same time.
Now, can you go? Is it all throughout the whole? Because I'll admit that I was a little bit nervous going to the contra dance, and it was probably like a weird social situation. But like, I didn't really stay that long. So like, can you, if you see a lass or laddie or they that you like, can you go and can you make moves during the?
Most of this is pre-planned. It's pre-planned. It's learned. You learn the steps to certain dances, and then everybody does them simultaneously.
No grinding.
No.
I know, but I'm wondering, what if you, I'm serious now, like picture the situation where like your crush is like right there, and then like, you know, Enrique Iglesias' third cousin five times removed is over there, and he's looking at her too, and you're like, well, I better, you know, like, right, but you're all doing it by yourself, so you can't, but like, so is it a faux pas to like go and you gotta, maybe you can say like, come on, we gotta go churn the butter, and then she'll be like, what? Like, no.
Well, I don't know about, I don't know, isn't that like hip hop?
I don't know. Sean will know. Sean, hypothetical situation. We're at a line dance. My crush is there, so I'm looking and I'm like, but we're dancing in a line, can only dance myself. And then I see to my right Enrique Iglesias' third cousin five times removed, also looking at my crush. So can I just go up? How do I but in the middle of the line dance? Like, so I can't, we can't be line dancing together, because then it's more like a, so like, how do I go say like, hey, we gotta go churn butter right now? Like, is that the move at the,
I don't know. I guess, you know, just be polite. I don't know.
What if he's more polite and faster?
I have to pee.
I went there before you did.
No, it's not going to happen. Don't take it back.
I don't know. We used to say, you would tap the guy on the shoulder and cut in. That used to be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. You used to tap a guy on the shoulder and take over his dance space.
But then it's up to the lady, right? Don't, isn't the gentlemanly thing, you both have to look at her and it's her call, right?
Well, the gentlemanly thing is to submit, let the guy.
No, see, I would look at the, and look at her. Nowadays, I think now the society would be like, nowadays, she would probably be like, I'm going to go with whatever guy that I want. But back in the day, it was probably like, you had to cede to the, Sean, you didn't tell me about cutting in. He's telling me about cutting in, and so.
But it used to be if you tapped the guy on the shoulder, you could take
a. Oh, cutting in for the dance? Yeah. I mean.
During the dance. Bring
I don't know. I'm kind of insecure, man. If someone can't cut in, I'd be like, I don't know.
I'm thinking you leave it. You make it's up to the it's the lady's choice at that call, right?
I think so. Yeah.
But 100 years ago, you probably didn't have a choice. It was probably like they it custom ruled.
Fucking may have to duel it out or something.
Yeah. Isotoner gloves come out. Did they have isotoners back then? All right, here we go. This is like this is the best happy horseshit show that's ever happened, that ever will happen, that ever can happen. Sean's pretty good.
Someone's fucking with the tuning.
I was playing it a little bit, which was probably the problem. It's pretty close, I feel like.
I was trying to find.
You got a pitch thing? You can give me like an A or something?
Oh, well, I can give you a note.
Yeah, give me an A. If I get it tuned up to itself, can you play with me? Or?
Probably so.
Okay.
I can adjust the fiddle. We can play it as long as they're as long as they coincide. We're in good shape.
This is a serious music fan, Fiat Chase, watching good musicians about to jam. What if Vanilla Ice walked in right now? Do we let him cut in or no? I say no. And the jokes get bad at this time of night. Ladies and gentlemen.
Two steps?
Yes. That's a G. But I'm going to take the G.
I think I'm learning something. That's good.
In the deep dark room, in the walls of my wig, didn't know you'd call. If you were bored 'cause I didn't reply, don't put me down 'cause I'm ready to try. But I want you to know that I'm tuned in on your night. Baby, don't hang up unless you wanna blow my mind. Wanna blow my mind. Wanna blow. Even though your deep eyes screamed out how lonely you are, I couldn't see their voice. I was in the sky so high on the wings of my mind. How did I know you'd look? If you were bad, 'cause I didn't reply. Don't put me down.
monitors, so we don't, so there's not feedback into this mic. So I'm just letting, you know, we can, we'll just talk over his show, you know, it's like, yeah, that's no problem, right? Right, Pete? You don't mind.